The province has declared a public health emergency on drug overdose deaths. Here is Health Minister Terry Lake describing the situation.
You know, we would see about 200 1 year, 180 the next year. And then in 2012, we started to see that go up to 274, then 330. In 2014, 365, and then last year, 476. And as Dr. Kendall says, within the first 3 months, we're already at 201.
That's BC's Health Minister Terry Lake. He was referring there to Dr. Perry Kendall, who is BC's Chief Medical Health Officer. They both say the province will now collect real-time data. A mother in Kelowna, though, knows all too well the pain behind those numbers. Helen Jennings has lost not one, but two sons to overdoses. Her eldest son, Ryan, died as a result of a prescription drug overdose in 2011. Her son, Tyler, died in January after using fentanyl that he thought was heroin. Helen is now pushing for what's called an integrated health clinic on mental health for youth. We'll bring you more on that in the next half hour of Daybreak. But first this morning, Helen Jennings is in our studio this morning. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Tell us about what happened to Tyler.
He was a struggling heroin addict, and actually in the last 2 or 3 months of his life, he had been working a recovery program, and we thought doing, you know, really quite well. The night of the 13th, he came to our room and was pretty happy about the meetings he was attending, and the next morning, the 14th of January, my husband and I left for work, and Tyler seemed good. And we can see from his texts in his cell phone at about 11:30 in the morning, he started to look for a dealer and purchased, in his mind, 2 points of heroin, which I believe is about a tenth of a gram per point. And he was in the home of his ex-wife and obviously injected the first point, which was not heroin, but we found out later 100% fentanyl. And with that amount of fentanyl, I think he died quite quickly of an overdose.
Describe, if you could, his addiction and its link with mental health.
Well, you know, I believe mental health and addiction are dance partners, and who's the lead partner, I'm not sure. It's kind of a, in my mind, a chicken and egg scenario. It can begin with mental health and escalate to substance abuse. Tyler came home from Thailand in 2004 after that tsunami, and we believe was suffering post-traumatic stress. And then in 2009, he was prescribed OxyContin after a football injury, and that's when the opiate addiction started. And, you know, when an addict is using, you know, say heroin or whatever, a lot, there are mental health issues. You can't continually do that to your brain and not have, and the issues can be in depression and anxiety and self-loathing and shame and the destruction of their lives in addiction is overwhelming and very hard to overcome.
We often hear about the fact that addiction will actually prevent people from getting mental health assistance. The province now says they want this one-stop shop. I wonder if you could just address the overlap. You have a little bit, but and how that can affect your ability to get help.
Well, in our dealings with Tyler, we did have him in the mental health system a couple of times, and the answers were usually, well, we have to deal with the addiction before we can address the mental health. And they have to be dealt with concurrently. Because of the mental health issues, even when the addict gets clean, there's so much going on in their head. If it's not addressed, they go back to the drugs. And had we had this integrated program when my children were younger in this one-stop shop where they could go have substance abuse and mental health issues dealt with together concurrently, there would have been a bigger chance of success with them.
Is that the case for both? I mean, Ryan was 37 and Tyler was 40.
Ryan was diagnosed with ADHD in his early teens, and at that time they were using Ritalin, which he did not like, and he wouldn't take it on a regular basis. And then he started to self-medicate with alcohol and other drugs. So his history started probably at 14 or 15 with substance abuse.
Did you have any inkling as a mother then that this was how serious that was?
Well, did I know it was going to escalate the way it did into the kind of substance abuse and their deaths? Obviously not. You know, we don't get an operating manual with our children. I searched with Ryan in particular through all the avenues that were available at that time. You know, child psychologists and counseling but there was no real consistent care or access to consistent care. And it balloons very quickly in substance abuse.
When you hear the health minister rattling off numbers like that, you know, 235, 476, how do you hear that? What do you hear when you hear politicians talking like that?
You know, I don't believe that there are really good stats on the numbers of overdoses and overdose deaths. I don't think that we've collected them very well. I know when Tyler died, the coroner did not inform the police that Tyler had died of a fentanyl overdose, which I think is really important. There was someone on the street selling 100% fentanyl, which is a death sentence. I mean, that dealer might as well have shot my son in the head. And so until we start collecting real-time statistics, we have no idea what we're actually faced with.
Is that dealer still on the streets?
As far as I know, he's still on the streets. I asked the police if they would inform me if he was ever arrested and his sale to my son linked to his death. You know, even if it is, they're not going to charge him with murder. They'll charge him with maybe trafficking. So, you know, the penalties, there's no deterrent for these dealers to stop dealing when a trafficking charge. Even if they go to court with it, will they actually be convicted and do any real jail time? History hasn't shown that.
Why are you willing to talk about this in public?
I believe there's so much shame and stigma around mental health and addiction that people don't want to talk about it. And until we talk about it, we can't gauge the size of the problem. I'm not ashamed of my sons. I, if anything, feel great sorrow for their suffering. The life of an addict is very, very unpleasant. And I just think people have to get out there and tell their stories and have the public understand this is a real health crisis. And we're going down a horrible road if we don't get a handle on it.
Helen, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Helen Jennings' two sons died from drug overdoses, one from fentanyl, the other from prescription drugs. She's among those that are trying to bring an integrated health clinic focusing on mental health for youth into Kelowna. We'll have more on that coming up in about half an hour from now here on Daybreak.